Tim, do your little mic check.
Mic check.
Okay.
Mic check.
Yeah, keep going.
Keep going. Keep going.
Great.
Keep going.
Finn, your turn.
And me. And me.
This is a bit perverse. Luca?
Is everything working?
Hi, my name is Vasco and I'm doing a mic check.
Hi, Vasco.
Hello and welcome back to The Common Room, presumably the number one podcast in Leeuwarden. We're back in the studio. It's been a whole summer and we're very excited to film our fifth episode. For our hardcore fans, we always keep our promises. And as promised, we will be bringing a guest on our podcast for a very special episode next month. However, this month, we're going to be talking about lies. And we're going to be asking each other a very profound question. When do you lie? And why do you lie? So, Luca, why don't you lead us off?
Well, to begin with, I would like to say that, well, lies are a little introduction saying that lies are, I believe, that are part of everyone's life at some point, to some extent at least. Maybe we don't lie, you can lie about big things or small things, but it's something that it's really common. Or when you're a kid, your parents are always saying, oh, don't lie to me because it's bad. And, well, personally, I have a good relationship with lies because I believe I'm good at doing it. Like, when I'm really, when I'm focused on doing it, I really can. But honestly, it's something that I don't feel really represents me because normally I always speak my mind. So there's no need to lie, or at least not that much. And when I do, it's mostly, well, I used to do it more when I was younger with my parents. You know,
little white lies here and there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, I don't know, I'm going out and I was like younger, you know, and you don't want to explain like details of what you did, like in nights out, you know, first time drinking, first time experiencing smoking or other stuff. And when your parents are asking you, how did it go? You're just like, I don't know, hiding details or I don't know. Also during COVID, for example, there was like some huge house parties. And they were like, oh, how many people at the party were there? And we're like, oh, yeah, 10. In the end, they were like 45. That's, I mean, they knew where I was going. So it's not like something big, but it was just something in order to make me like enjoy more what I was doing.
Yeah. And would you say that then the people who you lie to the most are your parents?
Well, not now, but yes, they used to be my parents. Mm-hmm. Then like to friends or to people that I know, the type of, let's say, lies that I do is like maybe exaggerating situations. Like Julian Sanso, this is for you. Like they always call me out on this. Like some friends from Luxembourg, they always call me out on like me exaggerating details about stories or blah, blah, blah. But like the main context, like the core, it's like real. It's never like a lie, but maybe it's just me emphasizing on some sort of stuff that happened and getting dragged into the whole story, saying stuff that might not be, well, it's not that they're not true, but they're just exaggerated in their sense, you know?
Yeah. I think that parents are an interesting start to the conversation because, you know, like when you were in the teenage stage that Luca was talking about, you're doing things that probably your parents don't want to know about. So do you think that because they're your parents, do they have like an inherent, do you owe the truth to them? Or do you guys think that it's okay to keep those things away because your parents don't, there are things that they'd just rather not know or you'd rather not tell them?
Yeah, I think I agree with the second part. So there are some things they don't need to know. I mean, of course, in a theoretical world, it would be nice if we were honest with everyone, but practically, with my brother, we say for the peace of the family, you know, like the benefit the truth would bring doesn't outweigh the negative side, the shortcomings or just the problems that would arise by them getting angry or, you know, being angry at us. And because, for example, in my family, with my brother, I'm 100% honest because he's my partner in crime. And with him, I can tell him totally everything. But then to the rest of the family, to the, let's say, authorities in my family, like my uncle, my aunt, my grandma, it just wouldn't bring any additional benefit. Mm-hmm. And for example, alcohol is a very interesting topic that we lie about in my family, because in my whole family there is this like shared ignorance of alcohol, because everyone knows that we drink alcohol, like me and my brother, but everyone just turns the eye and, you know, doesn't really openly acknowledge the fact. And like, they openly are like, oh yeah, we are a family of sports people, we don't drink alcohol, only during Christmas when my aunt gets drunk regularly, because my grandma makes this vodka with chocolate, which is really delicious. Mm-hmm. And so then there are these funny situations. I remember that the first day when I, my first day of high school, it was a boarding high school, so my mom and my brother were driving me to the dorms, and my brother was out the day before and he got home super drunk. And so the morning when they were taking me, he was really hungover, but he really, really wanted to go with me, my first day, new dorms, new life. But he just lied on the back seats of the car, sleeping, because he was too hungover. Then we came to the dorms, he somehow stumbled out of the car. We showed him my room, he was like, oh wow, it was an old socialistic Soviet room. He was like, oh shit, and he looked so dead, but I just appreciated him, you know, going there, probably trying not to puke in the car. Mm-hmm. And my mom was just like, oh yeah, he's just tired, you know, he was out the next day, the day before. She just wouldn't acknowledge the fact that, bro, he's hammered, like, yeah, he was, yeah, so, yeah, drunk. Or then a couple of times, even this summer, a couple of weeks ago, me going out, then being super hungover, then the next day going to my grandma's for lunch, and then eating the lunch, somehow trying to converse with her, have a conversation going, and then me just being, my head just ringing, me just being drunk, still a bit drunk and hungover, and being like, oh grandma, I'm just too tired, I'm gonna rest for a bit, okay? And then just passing out on her couch for 3 hours, waking up being like, grandma, do you have some painkillers? My head, you know, I just didn't sleep well the last night. Yeah. She's like, oh yeah, of course, and this evening, just go to sleep soon, okay? And I was like, yeah, okay.
And then you do it again that
night. And then
night.
I do it again, yeah.
Yeah, actually that's encouraged in my family. Which is quite interesting. I guess we have different family dynamics. Like, my family doesn't have the idea that we're all sports person. We all enjoy doing sports, but that doesn't mean we can't drink.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, it's sort of like, I would say, almost a ritual, or like passing down the torch between the father and the son, where like, when you turn like 13, your father's like, so when are you gonna like taste a beer with me? And then you just take a little sip, and usually, you know, you make a ugly face. You're just like, ew, I don't like this. And then eventually, like, you get sort of pulled along by your peers, by your, like, your dad, and you just try it. Eventually, maybe you start with ciders. Like, I started drinking Somersby, which then once you move on to beer, you absolutely hate, and you talk trash about people who drink ciders still. But so I started with ciders, like going to a beach club with my parents and friends, and then we'd just separate. My parents would give me the drinks, like, okay, one drink per night, and then we'd go have fun. And then eventually over time, like, I started to like beer a little more, I think, just out of drinking it, which is, I think it's really funny how you don't like beer, Tim, but I think I wouldn't like beer unless I was pulled along by, like, I guess society's standards in Portugal, because I didn't like it at first, but I tried it, and my dad and my like older sort of role models in the family, like my cousins who are a bit older, they'd be like, well, you don't like beer because it's an acquired taste, you just need to have more of it. And then eventually it was an acquired taste, like I used to hate it, and then I just kept drinking it until I liked it, and then it became my go-to drink.
Fake it till you make it.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, like, taking it back to the whole question, because I found it interesting what you said with, do you inherently owe your parents the truth or something? Like, talking about lies again, not just alcohol. I actually don't think you owe... I mean, it's difficult, because I don't think you inherently owe anyone all the details of your life, right? You know, it's your decision to share what you want to share. But then, of course, it's also some of the things in your life affect people around you. And then I think, so for white lies, I'd say, no, you don't owe anyone the truth. Maybe actually we can combine that with the talk about alcohol really well. But let's say people, you're at a party and people want you to drink as well, but maybe you're not feeling well or anything. Well, you don't even need a reason. Maybe you don't want to drink that evening.
Mm-hmm.
But then and people be like, oh, drink something. And then maybe this need to make up an excuse as to why you don't drink, though I think it should be enough to just be able to say, I don't drink, right? Or today I don't drink. But then you'd be more like, ah, oh, no, man, sorry, I took a paracetamol this morning. I can't. Though that's maybe not even true. Just because you, I feel like oftentimes you, and that's where white lies come from, right? You feel the reason to give an excuse for minuscule things as to avoid people questioning you further, kind of. It's like when your, I don't know, parents ask you after a night out, so when you come back home, and then you go like, no, yeah, it was midnight, and in reality it was like four, but we don't need to have this debate at the breakfast table right now, so mm-hmm. rather not say, or your teacher says, so why are you late? And in reality, you just slept in, but you feel like you need to give a reason, not just fucking didn't want to get out of bed. So you say, oh, yeah, I don't know, my bike had a flat tire.
Mm-hmm.
And these are harmless lies, and I think they're justified insofar as you don't owe anyone really all the details of your decisions. But then again, if we move on to bigger things that do really affect other people, because all these things are sort of personal things, they don't, your teacher, it doesn't affect them really that why you were late, at least. It maybe affects them that you were late, but in a minuscule way. But then in bigger contexts, for example, that wouldn't or shouldn't ever condone bigger lies. I don't know, cheating in a relationship, that could never be justified by, oh, you're not entitled to all the details of my life. That'd mm-hmm. be a stupid take. But I think talking about white lies, you don't owe anyone inherently the truth, not even your parents, simply because they're your parents. That's, I don't think that's how it's supposed to work.
To connect to Finn's point about like school, for example, lies about being late or I didn't do the homework and stuff. I have a really fun experience, which is, I mean, I had this really special relationship with my Italian teacher in high school, and she was really kind to me, and we used to talk and stuff. But the turning point was like in our, like, let's say, relationship, like teacher-student, that sorted out really well, was this day. Okay, basically, I didn't do the homeworks as usual. And she asked me why I didn't do them, you know, and everyone was like replying, like, oh yeah, I didn't have time and blah, blah, blah. And obviously that's bullshit, you know, everyone knows that it's not true. Like everyone knew that the reason was like, they didn't want to, or they had better stuff to do. So I was just like, yeah, listen, I'm just over all these lies. I'm just gonna tell her the truth. And my truth was like, I was playing FIFA. So I just told her, oh, I was playing FIFA. The next day, my dad received an email saying that the teacher wanted to talk to him. And I was like, okay, must be for my younger brother, it's all right. Then he goes to this meeting and blah, 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 comes back home, and my dad is like killing me because it's like, oh, how can you say that? It's not that you cannot say the truth, blah, blah, blah. This is so disrespectful. You went against like a sort of authority, you know? So, and that was one of the worst arguments that I have ever had in my life with my parents, because I was just like, yeah, maybe I was naive, but it was just the truth, you know? I didn't mean to say anything bad or to do anything disrespectful. It was just me being honest and being over the fact of saying, look, I didn't have time, while it wasn't true. So I did that. I said the truth, and like from like a, let's say, a society and also like a, I don't know, ethics point of view, it wasn't right, you know? And that really, mm-hmm. I think it's like something that taught me a big lesson. Mm-hmm. And since then I just realized that sometimes telling the truth is just like not good for yourself.
Yeah. Some white lies are almost encouraged.
Yeah, also right. Like I was thinking about the biggest lie that everyone lives with when we're a child is like Santa Claus, you know? I don't know how other countries live it, but in my, I remember like there was this kid, one of my elementary school classmates. It was like me, I was like, I don't know, I was maybe 7 and they already knew that Santa Claus didn't exist. So I was like going to my classmates saying, hey guys, this is all... No, because like our teacher gave us like a stupid presentation saying that she went to Santa Claus house and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, that's so much bullshit, you know. I was one of the only one that were saying that. And I remember I used to have like these big arguments with my classmates, with them saying, oh yeah, no, but it's true, what are you saying, blah blah blah. And you know, this is like something that society or some sort of kids really are destroyed when they realize that Santa Claus doesn't exist, you know. And this makes me think, you know, when you're a kid, you're happy because of a lie. And this is something that happens a lot of times, but even like when you're older, you know, as Finn said, like if your girlfriend or boyfriend cheats on you and you never know, you might be happy for like 10, 20 years and then you're gonna find out and you didn't know. So you're living like a sort of a lie. And that strikes me how you can live a lie when you're 25, 30, 40, but also when you're 5.
Mm-hmm. I think those two stories are really interesting. The first one from the point that usually when you lie to your parents and then they find out, they are mad and they punish you. Oh, because why are you lying to me? Tell the truth. On the other hand, they don't tell you that in some occasions it's okay to lie. Like, I bet they had never told you, oh, look, I shouldn't say the exact reason to your teacher because, you know, you should just make something up. So how are you supposed to know? You didn't know, nobody told you, so then you tried, and just by experience and by having a huge argument, you found out that it's not correct. And I think you were in the right. Like, why is it so bad to tell the teacher the real reason? As you're saying, the others were just bullshitting. You're the only honest one. And honestly, that's one of the... I think that's one of your most noticeable traits, at least that I have noticed so far, in you, Luca, that you're a really honest and open person and you always say what you think. And I really appreciate that because I know that from Luca, I always expect directness and never fakeness. So all the things I ask him, he'll give me an honest answer. I think that's very great. And to the second point in Santa Claus, yeah, I think kids are often lied to in order for them to behave well, because also Santa Claus is like, so that they behave well and get presents at the end of the year. Or those stories are like, oh, if you misbehave, then this ugly monster will come and take you away when you're sleeping, and stories like that that we used to hear. So I guess there's a good reason behind it, like to make kids behave well. The thing is, does it have to be a lie? Like, isn't it enough to tell them, if you behave throughout the year, you'll get presents for us for behaving well? Doesn't have to be a fat man in a red costume, does it?
Yeah. I totally agree with you, but I think at the same time, like, I remember, like, Christmas for me is such a magical time of the year, because when I was young, my parents really tricked me into believing, maybe not like Santa Claus, but into believing like the whole magic of Christmas. And I just remember feeling so radiant every time Christmas would come around.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to do that exact same thing to my children, because for me it was a good memory. So I think it's sort of like lying out of like goodness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They lied to me, but it was for me to have a good time, for me to like look forward to something, and I guess also to keep me in check. But like, I have very positive associations with Christmas, but for example, my mom and my uncle don't, because like my grandma from my mom's side is a very tough person. She's very like, she's a great businesswoman, but she's not a great people person.
Mm-hmm.
Not good at like human resource. And so she would tell my, like my uncle and my mom every year that if they didn't behave, then at Christmas, Santa Claus would come, and instead of getting presents, they would get like a sock full of coal. And then one year they didn't behave well throughout the year, and she warned them, but like I think my mom and my uncle were troublemakers. Like, my mom broke my uncle's ribs one time and broke her cousin's hip one time. So she was like a real troublemaker back in the day, and she would like get out of the house, like what we were talking about before, about lying when you come back. She wouldn't lie about coming back. She'd just leave the house through the window, go out and come back home without even telling my grandma. But so eventually, like, my grandma caught on to a lot of this, And Christmas rolled around and they did get a sock full of coal for Christmas, which was like very much to my mom's disappointment. And I'm so lucky that she never threatened me with that.
We actually have had the same thing, like, for my Christmas, though. Like, I heard both things. Like, oh yeah, you get presents if you behave well. Actually, it's similar to Sinterklaas in the Netherlands. It's Nikolaus, call it. That we'd either you get like cookies and whatnot in like the sock you put out, or like the shoe you put out, or you get a stick. Like a stick from, I don't know, a pine tree or something. Basically, well, back in the day, they used to beat the kids with that then. never got that bad. And I also, like, didn't get that ever, but I feel like that still exists. I heard both things. Lucky enough, I never got the stick.
Yeah.
But, it is an odd thought that... On one hand, truth is taught as like a virtue, thou shalt not lie and, you know, be honest to your parents and everything. Then at the same time, so many cultural things are also based on lies. What I found most interesting about the story Luca gave with his teacher was that your father said, that's so disrespectful that you told the truth, which is such an odd sentence to say, because you'd always think acknowledging that the other person deserves the truth is a sign of respect. But then again, it is not, and it's really odd that there's such a distinction. But at the same time, it makes sense, because like I said about white lies and more severe lies, some things are just easier. And yeah, I think, yeah, it's interesting that there can be such a duality in the term of truth when it comes to applying it in what situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's also, for me, a big distinction. Like bringing it back to the question of, do you inherently owe people the truth? I think there's a big distinction on who we're talking about, because I believe that with your close circle of people, you know, like really close family members, really close friends that you would open up to about anything, I think that you do owe them the truth to some extent, or like I'm much more likely to be honest with them. But like to someone who I'm not that close to, or someone who I don't have that much affection for, I don't think I owe them anything. So I'm like, I try to, it's very important for me to keep an open and like honest relationship with my parents, because I'd expect them to do the same to me, and that's the way that I was raised. But yeah, for someone who I don't know that well, I don't think I owe them anything. So I wouldn't mind lying and I wouldn't feel guilty. As opposed to like my parents, who are a very close friend. Like, for example, I was telling Tim a story the other day, a party story. It was like of something quite stupid that I did.
We seem to keep coming back to that.
Of course, of course. So something that I did that was quite stupid, and I don't know, I want to hear your opinion. Like, would you guys tell your parents about this? So I went on a night out with my cousin back in Portugal. We went to a beach club. We had fun. Eventually, the night ended. It was like 4:30, and this beach club is like, let's say, 7 kilometers or 6 kilometers away from my house. So it's a long walk, especially when it's 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. You're tired, you're drunk, you don't want to make that walk home. So we tried to get a ride. We called Ubers, we called taxis, but like my grandparents, they live in the middle of nowhere. And we were staying at my grandparents' house. So it was terribly hard to find a ride home. And eventually we just started walking. We made our way. My cousin wasn't feeling so good. He was quite intoxicated. And at a certain point, I was just like, well, okay, it's down to me. Like, I have to get us home. And I didn't really feel like, you know, carrying home or like dragging him home. So I was trying to think of solutions. We sat on the side of the road for him to, like, you know, gather his bearings. And then eventually I stood up and I saw a taxi passing, like a taxi stopping, dropping someone off, and then coming my way on the road. And I put my thumb out as if to ask for, like, hitchhiking, ask for a ride. And then I was also slightly intoxicated, so I didn't notice there was a car in front of the taxi, which was going faster than it. So I was trying to signal for the taxi to take us home. But the car stopped and I saw an opportunity and I was like, oh, wow, people who want to talk to us. So the guy, it was three guys, they were around 18, and they offered to take me and my cousin home. So we got in the taxi, I mean, in the car, not the taxi, unfortunately. And they drove, like they drove two people home and then they drove us home. And then, you know, everything worked out all right, perfect. We went home, we woke up the next day. And then me and my cousin were talking the next day and we were like, you know, that wasn't a smart idea whatsoever because we didn't know who the people were. We didn't know what kind of background they had. And we just randomly jumped in the car because we were drunk and we wanted to get home. And I'm sure our parents would have been much happier with us, whether making the walk or like waiting longer for a taxi and paying a more expensive taxi than to risk something like that. Because like maybe this time it worked out, but next time it wouldn't. So it was like we just reached the conclusion that it was stupid. But either way, I did tell my parents about it. And they scolded me to some extent. But I think that in this case, maybe because I'm older as well and they don't feel the need to parent me as much as young Luca, they didn't scold me for telling them the truth. They were like, okay, don't do that again. That wasn't smart, but thank you for your being honest. So I feel like I was rewarded for telling the truth in the end because they sort of taught me a lesson that I'd already learned. And they were like, okay, thank you for being honest. Like that's the sort of relationship that we want to cultivate here in this family.
Well, bro, but I disagree with you. Like, I would do that.
You would
coming back with strangers? Yeah, bro, easy. Like, what's the worst that can happen to me? Honestly, bro, like, if they were, like, obviously, like, you stop and you see how they look and stuff. But then, bro, it's just like having faith in human beings, bro. The worst thing that can happen to me in the end, like, when I go to the club, is I have my identity card and bro, if they want to take my wallet, I'm just gonna tell them, okay, take the cash or whatever you like, but don't take my identity card and it's cool, bro.
I think like, if you're hitchhiking during the day, makes total sense. You get into a car.
During the night, like, bro, if I was in your situation, if I was in your situation, I would do that.
I don't think it's the smartest thing. Well, then...
Like, but if the alternative is walking 6 kilometers, bro, it's okay, bro. I would do that. Like, I'll much rather go with someone that I don't know or someone that drives me home drunk, and it happened to me that some people drove me home while they were drunk, bro. So, it's just, you know, I'm not proud of it, but bro, if the option is walking 10 kilometers, what should I say? Like, he's a friend of mine, and I'm gonna say to him, hey, bro, no, we're not gonna do this. Like, he's driving for himself, okay? He's driving home, and he's drunk, and he has acknowledged that. And he's my friend and he's telling me, oh, I'm driving you home. What should I say to him? No, bro, you're an asshole. You're drunk. I'm not coming with you. Like, that's the thing, bro.
Yeah.
I can't, in those situations, like, in my opinion, it's not, you shouldn't even, like, think. You just, like, trust your common sense. And I know that in a village of, like, 10,000 people at 4 a.m., there are no cars. There are no, like, there's... The chances of something happening are really, really low, you know? So it's just like evaluating your risks. Yeah, and that's what I'm telling you, bro.
These
it's
are
just always like a question of chance.
That you wouldn't want to get to in the first place, but they happen.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I think that in that scenario with your friend, it depends. Like, I think it always depends. It depends on how intoxicated he is. If you think he can drive
home, yeah, that's the thing. He's telling me, like, I'm able to do it. That's the thing, bro. But if the police stops you and he blows the fucking balloon,
well, it's his
over.
Fault, though.
You
it's
know,
not
that's
yours.
No, I know. But that's the thing. Like, I'm aware, but I know that he can do it. And you just do it because you just value the pros and cons. That's the thing. But coming back to the fact that you said the truth, I think it's okay, bro. Like... These are like choices in life that at some point you have to do and your parents can accept that or not, but that's your own thing in the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can be happy or school you, but in the end it's just about you making your own choices at some point.
I agree, but I think maybe with another set of parents, they wouldn't have had such a positive reaction and they would have annoyed me or tried to ground me. So I was just saying that I'm thankful that I had that relationship with them. And then I bought the car. You know, I'm still here. You're still here. So everything's worked out so far. But I wouldn't make a habit out of it.
No, well, of course, bro. Like, habits is one thing. If it happens to you like one time, one, two times in 3 months of summer and that's it, it's all right. But bro, like me biking alone, drunk, it's the same thing. Bro, if you bike, I've done that multiple times.
Yeah, that's the
thing.
We all have.
That's the thing, bro. That's the thing. Like me biking back from the party like a few days ago, it was the same thing. But no one is around the streets, and you just be careful and stuff. But it can happen, you know.
Like, is it the same thing? I would disagree because you biking, what will happen? That you crash into a pole and maybe bruise your knees and arms.
But you don't have anything, bro. If you're inside the car, there is like something that covers you up and.
Still, but drunk. And driving and young people driving drunk is one of, I think, one of the main causes of fatal.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know. Personally, drunk driving is just nonsense. Yeah.
No,
I wouldn't trust anyone with my life if they're drunk.
No. I agree with you, bro. But it's just, as I said, pros and cons. And I don't know, evaluating pros and cons, it just reached out to the conclusion that it was okay to do it, but it's not that I'm proud or I go around saying, oh yeah, it's fun. Bro, I don't feel that it's fun. It's just out of necessity I did that. But I mean, to come back to the previous question, is like, it always like strikes me the why people lie and when, you know, because the why, it can be a lot of multiple reasons. But when, it's also like the time and the people you are with, and it's always like interesting to see like everyone's reaction. You know, to me, like to you guys, I wouldn't lie. But if I meet someone, I don't know, in the corridor of uni that I don't particularly like, or a person that I don't really know, and they're asking me, oh, what are you doing like for dinner tonight? I'm really prone to say to them, oh, look, I have stuff to do, while it's not true, you know, just to avoid some sort of conversation. And just not to hang out with some people, you know. And I don't know, it's interesting to see how I believe that this thing is really like deep inhaled in society, you know. It's something that everyone does and we don't even think about it, while it might be, well, it's not like, it shouldn't be as common as it is, and it shouldn't be as normalized as it is, because in the end, it's not a good thing to do, you know. Someone is inviting you over, he has like nice intentions, or she has nice intentions, and you're just rejecting it because, I don't know, you cannot enjoy time with them, or you can just like think about it a little bit more, or maybe you can find a way to make things work and stuff, you know?
Good points.
Yeah, especially in Canal last year was like something that, you know, with the rooms there, is finding excuse to not go somewhere was something that it was like my life a lot of times, you know?
Yeah, and but actually, if you think about it, the best thing would be if you were just able to say, actually, I'm not feeling like socializing this evening. That's not like I don't want to, and that should be the end of it. But it's true, yeah. In the end, because I've got that as well. But then you're like, ah, no, this and this, and then afterwards I think, why the fuck did I even lie? You know,
yeah.
I have my reasons, actual valid reasons, but I feel like personal feelings about this isn't enough for me to cancel on a person. Though, if you think about it, saying, actually, I'm really tired and I don't want to socialize this evening is a way better reason to say that you can't than saying, oh no, actually, I still have to do the reading.
Yeah.
Like, one is undoubtedly, like, your personal well-being, you think, is undoubtedly more important than the reading for the next day, but one of these answers is, like, socially more acceptable than the other. Because it appears less personal. I don't know, but it's curious that's the way it works.
It is,
and
it's almost scary to do that. It's like you're afraid you're gonna hurt the other person's feelings. They're gonna start questioning, like, you know, why do you not think that spending time with me is valuable enough for you? Whereas theoretically, you should be able to give yourself time if you want to. Like, you're the person who dictates how you're going to spend your time. And if you want to spend some time alone, like, no one should be able to sort of guilt trip you for that. But it's often what tends to happen in society, leading to these white lies.
Yeah. I feel like it's really, yeah, it's easy for us to say that, yeah, this is how it should be when we're just sitting here talking about it hypothetically. But then when you're in the situation, looking the person in the eyes, and you're just thinking, oh shit, I'll hurt him when I say this, and then you just lie. as I was talking about the drunken driving, it was easy for me to say it now in a rational voice. And just as I finished the sentence, I remembered the time when I did the exact same as you, Luca. Like, it was a party and we were drunk and one friend had this amazing... Like, during the party, it was a friend who knew that something like that might happen during the night. So he gave me the keys from his car and he was like, Tim, I know you're responsible. Please just don't let me take them. Then 1 hour later, he was like, oh shit, it's boring. Let's take a ride. And I was like, okay, let's go. Here you go. And then we went for a ride. So I did the exact same. And it's just, yeah, you're drunk. You have the pressure from the other person and you're just thinking differently. It's fascinating. But I don't know, in the last month, it's interesting that we're talking about this topic now, because in the last month, I've been trying to be more assertive because I realized that sometimes I'm trying to please everyone around me and even at the expense of my own comfort and well-being, and that's not correct because we should always prioritize our own comfort and well-being and then tend to the comfort of others. And so I'm trying to be more like Luca in the way of just being honest and just telling people what I think and then just being myself 100%, you know, not pretending at all. And just acknowledging that, okay, some people might not like that, but you can't be liked by everyone. And the close friends I have, I think they know me well. I think you guys know me well. And so it's okay that others don't might see. And you guys, I think, I hope, like me the way I am. And it's okay if someone doesn't share the same opinion. Mm-hmm.
That's good. But let's twist it on its head now. Would you say that you guys would you say that you guys lie to yourselves? And what do you think about lying to yourself?
Ooh, what a twist.
That is a twist. Lying to ourselves.
Well, to me, maybe lying to myself is just like, well, I do a few situations when, for example, you know, maybe you're going to a party, there's a girl that you really like, and you're like, yeah, I'm gonna do this and that, and it's gonna work out, you know. And then you go there, bro, and it's time to actually act and do the things that you have. You promise yourself, okay? And you promise that you would try seriously about something, and then when it's time to actually do it, it's just not happening because you just don't feel good enough, or you just doubt yourself and stuff. So maybe it's not really lying to yourself. Well, it is a lie in the sense that you're gonna try your best while you really don't, just because you have, like, maybe you're just shy, or you just don't like the appearance that you have in that certain moment, or you're just afraid that she's gonna see you drunk and blah, 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 you know. Just maybe not fully accepting, like, the situation you're living in, you know. Just, and that's one thing that happened to me a couple of times for sure. And about lying to myself, I don't, or other situations can be, I don't know, just take some time for myself, watching a TV series, and then I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna do this, like, I'm gonna start reading, I'm gonna put real effort in this new uni year, you know, all good intentions, and then it's 2 weeks, and I think I did one readings in the first 2 weeks, you know. That's just you promising to yourself a sort of, like, discipline as well, you know, having like some sort of discipline, and then you don't. That's what happens to me, but it's not really a lie. It's more not being able to commit to what I say.
Yeah, I can relate to a lot of what you said. I would say that I'm very good at not lying to myself. I honestly don't have that practice at all. Like, I'm very honest with myself at all times. Like, when I do something bad, I don't pretend it's not bad. Mm-hmm. I know that I did something bad, and doesn't necessarily mean that I always do good things. No, I don't. I do bad things, but I don't lie about it. I'm very honest with myself. The only way that I would lie to myself is, I think being so honest can be very good for me in terms of, like, when I'm going through shit, basically. Like something tough in life, or like just a bad stage, I can be quite honest, and I like to write things down, like journal, and it makes me understand my emotions better. I don't like put trauma aside and ignore it, you know. I try to focus on everything and embrace everything. But then at the same time, being so honest and being so makes me also so aware of my both my strengths but also my weaknesses. Like I know myself very well, and I can be my biggest enemy in sometimes because I never lie to myself. Sometimes it's hard to set goals because I'm afraid that I won't be able to accomplish them, and I want to always be honest. And one of the things that I'm trying to do this year is being more disciplined, both with my school and especially with exercise. Like I want to exercise often, and I am doing that so far, and have been doing that over the summer. But I want to keep that up, and it's sometimes daunting to have these responsibilities and to make a promise to yourself and then have to stick to them. Furthermore, like today I joined this sustainable entrepreneurship course that they promoted the other day in class. It was by this organization called Founded in Friesland. And I was so nervous to go because it's something that I never did before. Like never really went into business and management. And I was really nervous to show up, and I was like, you know, this is something extra from school. How much effort is it gonna take? Then I read sort of the info about it, and you have to come up with a business idea, and then you have to pitch it to like a room of people, and then you might win 2,500 euros as like the prize. And I was like, damn, you know, this it seems quite real. It seems quite important. So I was like, can I really commit to this like alongside school? And like, I want to put in a lot of effort because I want to sort of be a perfectionist and I want to do a good job if I do something. So yeah, I just had quite a lot of nerves going into it. But then I went and it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. And I feel like I learned even some things just from the first lecture or like session that we did. So I managed to, you know, catch myself out before I shied away from doing something that scared me. But sometimes I don't catch myself out.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually thinking just now, because you said you're like honest with yourself in all aspects, which, fair enough, right? That's a good thing. But now I was thinking then, if we made the distinction from lying to others between actual harmful lies and white lies, I was thinking whether there's actually a difference in lies to yourself. Because are there white lies to yourself that you do to yourself just because maybe it's easier? I don't know if you can call it a coping mechanism or whatever. Really, really stupid example. But theoretically, watching a football match till the last minute, you're 2-0 down. We can turn this around. That's clearly a lie, but makes the game more exciting because if you just go, that's it, I guess. Where's the fun in that?
Yeah.
Right? So I don't know. I'd love to hear your input. Like, can there be white lies to yourself, or is anything you know about yourself? Can you even white lie to yourself? Because deep down you know that it's not true,
yeah.
Right? For example, maybe a bit more of a serious example or something that, if anything, lying to myself sort of relates to what Luca said, would probably be my tendency to think that I can do more things than I actually can per day. Like, was it late 10 minutes to this podcast session because I was like, yeah, no, I can schedule the meeting till like exactly the time when I need to be at the other meeting. Who needs travel times anyway, right? Walking from A to B costs no time, but of course it does. And so like over planning, for example, is basically me lying to myself, I can do this as well. Which I guess isn't a white lie anymore because it doesn't make things easier. It just means I'm late. But yeah, maybe there are white lies to yourself. I don't know, whatever you guys think.
I think it makes a lot of sense because when I was thinking about the lies that I tell myself and then you gave us this distinction, I was like, yeah, that fits into the white lies. So the lies I was thinking about to myself were these white lies. And I think it makes sense. And we also, I think, had in psychology, like it's a coping mechanism, as you said, just to protect your mental health. Because, for example, when you're going through a failure, a failed test, or I don't know, a lost match, football match, then it's easier to lie to yourself a little bit, like, oh, yeah, I was tired. If I hadn't been tired, I would have written the test better. Or, yeah, like, the referee was totally biased. Like, obviously, if it was a different one, we would have won. And in that way, you're just protecting your confidence, protecting your mental health, rather than being like, oh, yeah, I'm a failure. That was totally my fault. Those are, like, two extremes. And I think it's nice to have a balance between that. Like, you can tell yourself a small white lie, like, yeah, okay, this and that, I was a bit tired. We didn't have luck, because sometimes all you need is luck. That's the difference between failing and passing, losing or winning. You know, one random right answer, one shot going off the post into the goal or outside of the goal. And therefore you protect your mental health, but at the same time you acknowledge, yeah, but also I could have been more prepared. I could have studied more. We could have practiced more. Like, our strategy might have been better. So next time, let's prepare better. And then I'll just have higher chances of winning. So as I'm sure Thanos would agree with me, like, it should be perfectly balanced.
So basically,
what a reference, bro. What a reference.
I mean, it's sort of like white lies to yourself are then basically means adopting an optimistic viewpoint for coping reasons.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if there's any sort of lying that I do is that one. It's like, yeah, telling myself. I have to say I am quite honest. For example, like, there's this boxer, heavyweight boxer that I really like, called Anthony Joshua. And the last two matches of his that I watched was after this very disappointing defeat that he had against this short, fat Mexican guy who nobody thought would beat him, but then he got knocked out by him. And that was really disappointing as a fan, because he was always seen as like such a big prospect, and being undefeated in boxing is a very big deal. So afterwards, he had a match against this other, he had a few matches that he won, but then he had another big match fighting against like a champion of another division that went up a division to fight him. And I was very nervous, like, before the match. I was talking about it with my friends, and we were like, yeah, no, we want Joshua to win, but he's probably not going to. Like, we were always honest since the start. Obviously, we're big fans of him. We're like, yeah, he's big. We want him to beat him. He can knock him out. But we were always like, but he lost against the short, fat Mexican dude. So what if we get disappointed again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then we did. And then second fight came around. And he won in the second fight against the Mexican dude. He got his belts back. So we were like, okay, redemption now. You know, he always comes back stronger the second time. Maybe he'll be a three-time heavyweight world champion. But we were like, yeah, he just got completely outclassed the last fight. So it's probably not going to happen, you know? So even though, like, I try to be optimistic, I find it very hard to lie to myself.
But you were, again, protecting your mental health by self-handicapping, or in this case, handicapping Joshua, like preparing for the worst or expecting the worst, mm-hmm. so that then you're pleasantly surprised when it's the best.
Yeah.
When it's a positive outcome. But like, oh, I'm so stupid, I'm surely going to fail the test, and then you pass the test and you're like, oh, wow.
Mm. Yeah, after exams, being like, oh, no, I completely squandered it, and then actually...
Yeah.
Yeah, these are the worst people, guys.
Many people do
that. Say that are the worst. Are the worst. Oh my god.
Oh no, I didn't study at all. Them. And then A plus. Oh wow. Really, yeah. Really.
You
didn't want to
be friends with those people.
No.
Okay, but nice. Very interesting discussion. We're going to have to bring it to a close, however, because we all have things to attend to. But
this time we are counting for travel times.
Yes.
And we are late to something.
Yeah, we are late to something.
Some of us are counting for travel times.
In order to provide this entertainment for our audience.
Don't worry,
care about
when we
deeply.
Come there, we'll tell them a good lie and a nice excuse.
A white lie, though, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They'll never know. They won't care. Unless they watch this episode.
Which they should.
Hopefully they would, because they're our friends. But thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next month.